WNYC Studios is supported by Dana-Farber Cancer Institute, where hundreds of researchers make new discoveries inspired by the work of previous Dana-Farber scientists. Learn more about their momentum at danafarber.org/everywhere.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC and on our politics website, itsafreecountry.org. Check out our latest news and politics quiz and see if you've been paying attention. Today we reveal how Democrats and Republicans not only hold different opinions, but tend to know different facts. There's always something to read and always something to do at itsafreecountry.org. And by the way, today on Soundcheck, you won't want to miss this, two great performances live from the Green Space. New York-based singer and pianist Regina Spektor and the New Orleans soul legend Aaron Neville. Tune in this afternoon at 2 on 93.9 FM or watch a live webcast at 2 on WNYC.org. Now, back in 1978, Time magazine asked Americans if they thought marriage was becoming obsolete. At that time, 28% of them said yes, it was. Now, 32 years later, Time and the Pew Research Center have released the results of another nationwide survey asking the same question. The result? Nearly 40% of people asked said they think marriage is obsolete. 40%. Belinda Luscombe is an editor-at-large for Time magazine. She covered the survey results for an article coming out today in Time and is here with us to talk about what they might mean. Hi, Belinda. Thank you for coming on WNYC.
A pleasure and an honor.
So, wow, 2 out of 5 people think marriage is obsolete or meaningless. What does this mean? We should expect to get invited to fewer weddings?
I don't know, because if you look at the figures, it's 44% of younger people, people under the age of 30, and they're among the higher group who say this. They say they think marriage is obsolete. But when Pew asked them, well, do you yourself want to get married, only 5% of them said no. Mm. So it's this weird place where people think it's becoming obsolete, but they still have a great affection for it and hope for it for themselves.
Is there a demographic breakdown of these attitudes? Are there those who are most likely to agree that marriage is becoming obsolete?
Demographic breakdown. It's not always what you think. I mean, some of it's obvious. The unmarried parents who are living with their partner who have no need of marriage, 62% of them think it's becoming obsolete. But a lot of social conservatives and religious people believe it's becoming obsolete as well. They just don't necessarily think it's a good thing.
How do you explain the wide disparity between the percentage of people who think marriage is becoming obsolete and those young folks who still want to get married themselves?
Marriage still has an enormous status in America. It used to be that when marriage used to be like the draft. You know, everybody did it. It was one of those, you know, you got talked into it and you did it. Now it's becoming more like West Point. You know, it's more of an elite thing. And so it used to be that when people, you know, left home, got married, started their life, it was the sort of demarcation of adulthood. Now people want to have their life more in train. Usually they've finished college or got their career underway. And when they feel like they've got a little grip on life, especially on its finances, then they decide to get married.
So maybe they don't think... We tend not to think our own marriages are obsolete. We tend to think our parents' marriages are obsolete.
Exactly. And, of course, marriage has undergone enormous changes. And it turns out that more women than men think marriage is becoming obsolete. And I think that's because of the rising economic power of women.
Listeners, do you think marriage is obsolete? How would you answer this question? And especially if you are, let's say, just a few years out of school, do you think that you view the role of marriage in your life and the importance of marriage in your life differently from how your own parents did? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692, or post to WNYC.org, click on Brian Lehrer Show for our guest Belinda Luscombe from Time magazine, who wrote about this Pew Research survey. 212-433-WNYC, whose marriage is obsolete? And what about for you? 212-433-9692, especially if you are not yet married, maybe in your 20s, and asking yourself about how you see potentially the role of marriage in your life or not. 212-433-9692. You mentioned in your article a phenomenon that you refer to as the marriage gap, where maybe this is what you were getting before about the elite, but the household income of married couples tends to be significantly higher than that of non-married couples. What's behind that increase?
Well, and it has grown massively as well in the last couple of decades. It used to be, I think when we took our original survey, or maybe even a little bit before that, the gap between married and unmarried people, the household income gap was about 12%. Now it's somewhere up in the 40s, which is, you know, astonishing. What is behind that gap is that we are marrying people who are more like us educationally. So we go to, you know, people who go to college, meet somebody at college, maybe live with them for a few years, you know, just kick the tires, sort out the kinks, and then they marry, and then they get married. So it tends to be that it used to be that doctors married nurses and businessmen married their secretaries. Now doctors marry other doctors, and businessmen, you know, are often part of a power couple. You know, people are marrying people who are just more on their income level. And this, of course, is mostly because there are so many more college-educated women to choose from.
And it's not as true of couples who cohabitate as opposed to get married? Is that what that difference is supposed to indicate?
Couples who cohabit who went to college usually get married after they've sorted out their careers a little bit. Couples who cohabit who are high school educated, they tend to delay marriage because people don't like to get married in America in this day and age without having some sort of financial security. And with the massive job loss in the manufacturing sector and the growth of the knowledge economy, steady, well-paid jobs for high school-educated people have just become much harder to find. So they delay and delay and delay because they never really reach the point where they feel like my life is in a good enough shape that I can get married. And therefore, it's not that marriage is making people richer, it's that richer people get married.
Are gay and lesbian couples measured at all, either in the survey or in the marriage and income statistics?
In the survey, we ask whether or not people believe that gay and lesbian couples should be married. And I think it depends. Interestingly, in America, the gay and lesbian marriage debate is so much stronger than it is overseas. Because for many gay couples overseas, getting married is a little like getting a fax machine. They're like, why would I bother? It's you know, it's outdated. But because marriage means more here, it's a much fiercer debate. And people still do believe that gay and lesbian couples raising children, more people believe it's bad for society than good for society. But there is a really big sector, somewhere around 40%, who believe it doesn't make much difference.
Did you hear, by the way, and this is an aside, but I saw in one of the papers a few days ago that there was a comparative study of child abuse across different types of couples. And in the sample they had, by far the lowest instance of child abuse was in households with lesbian couples, two lesbian parents. And the instance in the sample measured was zero instances of child abuse. So just...
Well, and also another study recently came out that showed that children of lesbians do better at school. Hmm. So basically, I guess the two-uterus family is the perfect family, it seems.
Except for men. Lukey in Flushing, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Hi, how are you? I just wanted to mention, I heard a few years back in the Obama speech that one of the main determinants of a single female household falling under the poverty line was doing one of two things: not getting married, and also having a child having a child out of wedlock, and also
That's right. You're talking about delaying marriage, or when minors have kids, and when you stay unmarried and with children, then you're going to go into poverty. Is that what you're saying?
It was not graduating high school and having a child out of wedlock. If you do not do those two things, most likely you will not end up under the poverty line. You mentioned that, and I think it was quite a statement. So I don't think it's obsolete in that sense. I think it's a very elitist statement for that 40% to cast out marriage in the from the financial point of view.
Lukey, thank you very much. And this goes back to what some people called, what was it, the Dan Quayle Murphy Brown speech, pointing out that the best road to keeping your children out of poverty is to be at least in a two, you know, whether it's marriage in the traditional male-female sense, a two-income or a two-parent household?
Well, it's fascinating because we, you know, one of the questions that the survey asked was, we asked about all these things. What is it easy to do single and what is it easy to get married? And on most things, in terms of getting ahead in a career or finding happiness or having, you know, having social status, you know, the public was, it doesn't really matter which way you go. You can have those things with your married or if you're single. But in the terms of raising children, 70% of people said it was much easier to raise children married, and only 2% said it was easy to do single. And it does seem to be that that often is the defining factor. These high school educated couples who delay getting married, they often do not delay having children. That is the signal difference between them and the college educated couples who live together. The college educated couples don't have kids till they're married. The high school educated couples often do. And that is what tends to push them further into financial difficulty.
How do you explain it? Is it just an ignorance through lack of education of the financial implications of having children, A, out of wedlock, where your relationship is not likely to last, and B, with only a high school diploma, so that you and your kid are likely to be poor for a long, long time?
The sociologist I asked about this, because I had the very same question, said that often it's a case of the women feeling not empowered enough in the relationship, so they do not have the ability or the influence in the relationship to decline to have children, or they feel incomplete. Their unhappy relationship or incomplete relationship they think will be made complete by a child, or they just really want somebody to love them or to need them, that they feel like a child will make their life better. So there's a lot of pushes towards having a child, and they're not obviously well informed enough about how bad the situation will be, how much it does cost to raise a child, and what difficulty that child will have if the parent's not financially secure in some way.
Belinda Luscombe with us from Time Magazine. Time and the Pew Research Center have done a major survey of facts and attitudes with respect to marriage, including finding that 40% of people asked said that they think marriage is obsolete, compared to 28% who said that when they did a similar survey back in 1978. Chris on Staten Island, you're on WNYC. Hi, Chris.
Hi, good morning, Brian. My name is Chris. I'm currently serving on active duty in the military on Staten Island, but I'm originally from Texas. I'm 24, and my wife and I have been married for a little over a year and a half, and we're also evangelical Christians. So from our community in Texas, within the church, it's very common to see people get married at a very young age, and so much so growing up down south that honestly, as a female, if you were about to graduate college and you didn't have a ring on your finger, then people would kind of look at you as if something was wrong.
Chris, thank you for your service, first of all. And do you think that in the community where you came from, that there was a sense not only that that was desirable or the right thing to do for the individuals involved, but that marriage as an institution was under attack from the broader society, and that was one of the reasons to get married and get married young?
Well, no, I would say that if any individuals within my circle of friends had come to me saying that they felt like they had to get married at a young age in order to protect the institution of marriage, that I think that is not the right idea to go with into a marriage. Mm-hmm. But there is a sense of something deeper than just a marriage for a conventional or a legal purpose, but it's more of like a holistic approach to a relationship, at least within the church. Whereas my wife and myself, we both waited until marriage. We were both abstinent until marriage, and so there was so much more intimacy. It was such a much more special occasion and event in our marriage within the church because we had waited, and instead of just adopting a willy-nilly, kind of ad hoc approach to marriage.
Mm-hmm. Chris, how long have you been in New York?
I've been here since June, so going on 5-6 months.
So is it a culture shock?
It is, but I've lived in the Northeast for the last 6 years, so it's not too difficult, and we really enjoy New York so far.
That's great. Call us again, okay? Thanks for calling.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. And Brian in Livingston, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. The comment I wanted to say is that the idea of marriage as some romantic fulfillment of everything in life is, of course, extremely new in the sweep of human history. The marriage used to be a kind of economic and political enterprise, and that I feel like the kind of marriage that strikes me as being obsolete is this starry-eyed notion that one person will be your everything, and that, you know, for those of us who are children of the baby boom generation, the staggering divorce rate among boomers has really shown us that kind of, if I marry the one person who's the love of my life, they'll satisfy every want and need I could ever possibly have, is frankly a crock. And that, you know, I live with my girlfriend, and when we get married, it'll be an economic decision. It'll be what's the right kind of rational decision for ourselves.
Belinda, how many Brian from Livingston's do you think there are out there?
Lot of Brian from Livingston's. One of the sociologists of marriage says that, you know, that we have loved marriage to death, or that romantic love has been the death of marriage. And indeed, it has. It does make marriage more difficult, I think, when you see it as less of a business partnership and more of a soulmate relationship. Nevertheless, in our survey, 93% of married people say the number one reason to get married is because you love somebody. Because many of the other reasons we used to have to get married, for financial stability, for social status, they've all gone by the by. They don't exist anymore. So love is really the only reason we've got left.
Brian, thank you. And you call us again, okay?
Interestingly, for what Chris said, he comes from a community which, you know, most people say that if you get married before the age of 26 and you don't have a college degree, then your chances of divorcing are higher. But in fact, if you come from a community like Chris's, where you have a lot of support in your community, mm-hmm. where you have a religious basis for what you do, those marriages tend to survive pretty well.
And before you go, several comments on our comments page are coming in from listeners who, I guess, are in heterosexual couples who say they are waiting to get married until there is a marriage equality law for GLBT people in this country. How about that?
Well, like I say, it's interesting. It's a very big debate here in America. And again, you ask gay couples in Europe about this, and they're like, why would we do that? That's just so old-fashioned. So obviously, marriage is still a very valued thing in this country.
Belinda Luscom, editor-at-large for Time Magazine. Time and the Pew Research Center have released results of a nationwide survey asking about whether marriage is obsolete and lots of other questions. It's in this week's Time Magazine issue. Thank you very much. Fascinating conversation. And now comes the addendum. After a short break, the role of Facebook in contributing to extramarital affairs. Stay with us and call us with your stories if you dare.